Another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and TropaGoal.com, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo, Family Dentistry, and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos and Western New York Flash, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Olindo's, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks for joining us early this evening. We will be going up till 7:10 p.m. tonight, and that will be Robert Swessian men's basketball tipping off on WISL as the Redhawks face St. Edward's University. So be sure to stay tuned after our show for exciting live college basketball with J.C. DeLasse on the call. If you have not heard the breaking soccer news, Jürgen Klinsmann is officially out as head coach and technical director of the U.S. men's national team as of this afternoon. In just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Michael Lewis to discuss this big story and who will be likely taking over the job with the national team. There could even be a Rochester connection here. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. At 6:30, we'll have Rhinos head coach Bob Lilly on to talk about the latest news from the team and the USL. And Dick Howard will have all the international news as well, and a preview of the big MLS Eastern Conference Final first leg between the Montreal Impact and Toronto FC that takes place tomorrow night at the Olympic Stadium in Montreal. Joe Sirianni is off tonight. We hope to have Joe on next week's show. Before we get to our main part of our show, we want to send out a couple of congratulations to the MCC women's soccer team. They made it all the way to the national semifinals this past week, losing to eventual national champion and number one ranked Paradise Valley Community College of Arizona. They played to a 1-1 draw and then lost 1-0 on penalties. I don't think I've ever seen a 1-0 penalty kick shootout, but that's what happened. And Paradise Valley did not lose a match or did not even tie a match until that match with MCC. So congratulations to the Tribune, Lady Tribunes, for a great season and nearly bringing home a national title. And also want to congratulate the William Smith Herons, Division One's number one team, Division Three's number one team. They lost a heartbreaking 4-3 decision in the Elite Eight to host Brandeis in extra time after they tied the match with just 3 seconds left in regulation. So certainly another great year for local soccer. Of course, again, congratulations to all the great high school programs. Spencerport girls finishing fourth in the nation in high school soccer. So congratulations to them and to Wheatland Child Life for winning state championships. And we also want to say thank you to all the support that all of you fans give to the local teams, whether it be the Rhinos, the Flash, collegiate, high school soccer, and the youth programs in this Thanksgiving week. Give thanks to soccer and all the soccer players, the coaches, and everyone who works for our great sport, keeping it moving forward, keeping it going, and making it even bigger than it is currently in the United States. But we're going to take our first break right now. When we come back, Michael Lewis will be with us live from New York. We will have the latest news on the firing of Jürgen Klinsmann as the U.S. men's national team coach and what we can expect to see from U.S. soccer as a replacement is named, hopefully in the near future. We'll have Michael on with us next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in the winter wonderland.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, L.A., Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 15 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore!
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi-Lai Fall Plaza is the place to start. Locally owned with over 25 years in business, Claridge Custom Designs and Builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality, and the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClarideDesignCenter.com.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. It's the U.S. Soccer Report with the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and Tropigol.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis.
I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
U.S. Soccer Report tonight is brought to you by Olindo Cash and Carry, located at 1510 Lyle Avenue in the city of Rochester. Number to call is 647-1985 during regular business hours. And you can go to olindofoodservice.com to check out all the supplies and what they serve and what they have at Olindo. The Christmas season's right around the corner, and all the Christmas parties are coming up. Great place to purchase your food for these parties and for all your Christmas festivities and Thanksgiving as well, of course. Can't forget about that. If you haven't already done your Thanksgiving shopping, Olindo's a great place to go to get all your Christmas Thanksgiving and Christmas needs. Again, 1510 Lyle Avenue in the city of Rochester. And, Michael, you got to be going crazy right now. This was not an unexpected announcement, but I think the timing was unexpected. When I opened my email and I saw Jurgen Klinsmann relieved of his duties, I'm like, wow, that was fast.
We were expecting it, but we didn't know when it was going to happen. I was a couple minutes after, I was doing some cleanup here in my office, and someone actually put a reaction to my column on Facebook, and he said, oh, and he's gone now. And I'm thinking, what? And boom, he had just been fired, and I just went into a warp speed to get a story up and make some sense of this. Well, there was a lot of sense to be made of beforehand, but just to make sure it was in English and whatnot. And I think you know my background. I had written a column way back in March saying that Klinsmann should be replaced as U.S. national team coach, and I guess I'll say to some people now, what took you so long? But hopefully everything is pointing toward Bruce Arena as the new coach. I know it's new old blood or old new blood, depending which way you look at it. I think he's more of a short-term fix because Bruce Arena has been there and done it, qualifying the U.S. twice. into the World Cup and having the U.S. reach the quarterfinals against Germany in the 2002 World Cup in Korea. So he's got an excellent track record, as we know, whether it's in college, professional, or international soccer. Best coach the United States has ever produced in soccer, in men's soccer at least.
Absolutely. First, I want to say to U.S. Soccer, thank you for making the announcement on a Monday afternoon so we could talk about it on tonight's show. It worked out very well for us. Thank you. Let me give my comments. The record of Klinsmann, if you look at it overall, it can't be, I don't think, argued that he was one of the most successful coaches in U.S. soccer history. He's the second winningest coach behind Bruce Arena. The U.S. had an unprecedented 12-match winning streak in 2003. He won the qualifying group for the 2014 World Cup. We were in the group of death. For those of you who don't remember, we were in a group with Germany, Portugal, and Ghana. Let's see. Germany is the World Cup champions. Portugal is now the European champions. Ghana is the runner-up in the African Cup of Nations. This was one of the most difficult groups. The U.S. got out of that group and nearly beat Belgium after coming from behind from 2-0 in extra time. He also finished fourth in the Copa Centenario, which is a big accomplishment. But I think what happened here is very simply, I look at what happened with Jose Mourinho at Chelsea last year. One of the most successful coaches in the history of European soccer, the players, after what happened with the training situation, the players stopped playing for him. And when that happens, you're done. And I think that's what happened here, Michael. I think that the players, that game against Costa Rica, they stopped playing for him, and that's on the coach, and the change had to be made.
No doubt about it. You could see it, particularly in the second half. I'm thinking, my Lord, if there's one thing that defines U.S. soccer teams, men and women, is that these teams never give up, even when they're getting beaten badly. You know, the U.S. women, not that much, but they're going to keep trying. There was this, you know, 20-minute span, maybe even more, in the second half. I'm thinking, that's not the U.S. team that we've all grown to love and to appreciate. And, yes, when a coach loses his team, it's tough to get them back. And I'm glad, you know, it's funny. I personally like Jurgen Klinsmann. I don't dislike him or hate him personality-wise. I think he's a great PR guy, and he could sell himself well, and maybe that's one reason why I like him personally. But I'm looking more toward not whether or not I like someone. Is the team winning? Is the team progressing? And quite frankly, I don't think the last two games, granted it was stiff competition, you're talking Mexico, and I don't care where you play them, they're going to be tough. Whether it's in Mexico City or Columbus, Ohio. And let's face it, the Ticos in Estadio Nacional in San Jose, Costa Rica, against the U.S., very difficult for the U.S. to get out of there with a result. But it's one thing to try hard and play well and lose. It's another thing to be humiliated. And if you take a look at the columns and the game stories, the various writers the next day, I think that the word humiliate or humiliated or humiliation was used a lot. And that says a lot because that has not happened too many times in U.S. soccer history, at least recent U.S. soccer history. So, yeah, losing a team, that's a good reason to replace the coach.
And so that's the – I think when we look back, though, on the Jurgen Klinsmann era, I think there were a lot of positives. I think one of the biggest positives that we have to think about is the players he brought in from Germany who we never would have seen in a U.S. uniform. I think of Bobby Wood. I mean, what a find he has been for this national team. He's solidly – what a strike partner, number one striker with Jozy Altidore, and other players that were brought in. John Brooks, even though his last couple of games obviously have been terrible, but he was a monster in the World Cup. These are players that, because of Klinsmann's connections in Germany, was able to, and the U.S. service connection, obviously, there, he was able to bring these players in that we never would have seen. And I think that's a positive. But one of the things I want to ask you, Michael, with the potential change in coach to likely Bruce Arena, we'll see. We'll talk about that in a second. But if it is Bruce Arena, do you think there's going to be a change in philosophy and style, maybe away from the European style to a more Latin style, which many people have called for because of the large number of Hispanics in the United States and the way they play the game versus the way they play in Europe?
I mean, it could very well be. I guess I'd only be speculating or guessing right now. I think Bruce will take a look at what he has. And see what works for him. He's not the type of coach that's going to put a system in that he likes. He's going to look for something that whatever players he brings into the team. I would like to think that he's not going to forget about the German players necessarily. In his first two cycles as a coach, his first two World Cup qualifying cycles, Bruce used a tremendous player pool, bringing players in and out of friendlies, just to test them out. John Wolniak, of the MetroStar / Red Bulls fame, had an opportunity to show what he could do in camp and played in two international friendlies. So to cut out anyone just because they're from a particular country or played under Klinsmann's style doesn't necessarily mean they can't be productive under maybe a Latin-oriented style. I wouldn't be surprised if the style does change, but that's a question I think we have to ask Bruce Arena when and if he gets named. Hopefully it will be that, because I think he's the best option for the U.S. At this juncture, I think he's the only option, quite frankly, because he's been there before, and he knows the journey through CONCACAF, how difficult it is to go on the road to accrue points, and how referees make some incredible calls or things just don't go your way because of the weather down in, whether it's the Caribbean or Central America or even Mexico City once in a while. So I think he's the one.
We're making assumptions here. There's been reports out that Arena has been offered the job. It's of course been denied by the Galaxy. We have to say that. Of course they're going to say that. But let me ask you one more thing, Michael, about if it is Bruce Arena, what about MLS players versus players who do not play in MLS? There's been a lot of calls by many pundits, including some locally, and you know who you are, my friend, that the U.S. national team should be U.S.-based players and that we should be focusing on players that play in Major League Soccer as opposed to players that we get from Europe who don't have a connection in the United States. With Bruce obviously being a U.S.-based coach, do you think that may be a way he would go?
Not necessarily. If, again, I'm looking at his track record for the 90, when he took over in 1998, for the 2002 World Cup, he used this player by the name of Ernie Stewart, who played in the Netherlands, who grew up in the Netherlands, and we all know the impact he made on the team. And granted, Stewart was playing for the team in the 94 and 98 World Cups, but there was also, I think, David Regi, I believe he played for Bruce too, another a player from France. So I think Bruce is smart enough to know that he's going to go after the best possible player. He could care less if they come from Mars. As long as he has U.S. citizenship and he could fit into his system and his style, he'll use him. That's what has made him such a good coach. And by the way, while I'm talking about him being a good coach, years ago I attended a D.C. United practice. And I was doing a story about Ben Olsen for a magazine, but I watched the practice. And John Hawks misses a sitter in front of the goal. And Bruce Arena says, and I'm not going to do my bad imitation of Bruce because I don't want to embarrass myself or Bruce, but he said, Hawks, even I could have made that shot. And here, this is the way he motivates players. He is a player's coach. And he'll put down himself just to get a chuckle out of the player, but also to let the player know that, hey, come on, that was a sitter. Instead of saying, how in the hell can you miss a shot like that? He adds some humor to it. And I think that's one of Bruce Arena's biggest qualities, player motivation. And he might not be the last word in tactics, but I'll say this, he knows what works. He doesn't necessarily have to move things around and show that he's a genius at it, as long as the players could play under the system and get results. So I think those are his two biggest strengths. Sorry if I got ahead of myself and answered a question you might have asked.
Okay, well, let me throw another strength out there, and it's somebody who people in Rochester low and love, and it's a gentleman by the name of David Sarokin, who last week resigned from the LA Galaxy, and the people in the know maybe got the idea that, hey, what if David Sarokin's leaving the Galaxy and Bruce Arena, something must be going on here. Actually, I tried to get a hold of Dave Sarokin. He did not respond back to me. Now I know why. And I think it's very likely, and correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, I think if Bruce goes to the national team, I think Dave Sarokin's going to go with him back to the national team as well, because the two of them are, they're basically a pair, and they work together so well. And they did it in 2002, and I think this would be a perfect opportunity for that to happen again here.
Well, I reached out to Dave as well, too, and unfortunately he has not returned any emails to me, and he might not be returning any emails or calls to anyone, and I don't blame him. Yeah, David has been an incredible first lieutenant to Bruce Arena, not just with the national team in 2002, but with LA Galaxy. And I did a story about them a few years ago, and Bruce talked about it was sort of like a marriage, you know, and how they get along, and it was a perfect situation. Would not be surprised if Dave Sarokin is named either the assistant coach or associate coach under Bruce Arena with the national team. That was his position with the LA Galaxy, not an assistant coach, but an associate coach. Because, you know, to really be successful, you need people, like I said, a good lieutenant. As an editor, I understand how it is important to have great assistant editors or people helping me out, because nothing is a one-woman or one-man show these days. And Dave Sarokin, as well as he directed the Chicago Fire in his prime years ago, and Cornell University, could be one of the best, maybe the best assistant coach ever to come through Major League Soccer and the U.S. national team.
Of course, here at Rochester, we would certainly love to see David go back with the U.S. national team. He's done it before, and we're all very proud of him, and he's one of the Rochester's greatest soccer exports, next to Michael Lewis, of course. But anyway, we'll see what happens. I mean, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, there's going to be a press conference by Sunil Gulati, head of U.S. soccer, to talk about this. And let me throw something else at you, Michael, which obviously is not going to happen tomorrow, but there are people calling for Sunil Gulati's head as well because of this whole situation. I mean, is there any chance of that happening, of him stepping down, or is that just people talking?
I think it's just people talking. I really think if Sunil Gulati didn't make this decision, or if he let it go on, and let's do a what-if situation, and he decided to keep Jurgen Klinsmann, and somehow the U.S. doesn't beat Honduras in its first qualifier since the Costa Rica debacle, and that's March 24th at a venue to be determined somewhere in the United States. Let's say the U.S. only got a tie, then Sunil Gulati would be in under the hot throw. Sitting the hot seat big time, but I think he made the right decision at the right time right now. You're giving the new coach, whether it's Bruce or someone else, 4 months to acclimate himself. I think a lot has changed in the decade. Yes, it's been 10 years since Bruce Arena coached the U.S. national team, And I think he's going to have to evaluate players a bit differently. Before, it was just, you know, getting 28 players for the LA Galaxy. Now he's going to worry about a depth chart throughout the entire world, hopefully 5-6 players deep at every position, so he knows if someone gets injured, he could call someone else in to take his place. So getting back to your original question, I haven't forgotten that. I'd be stunned if Sunil Gulati steps down because, again, I think he made the right decision at the right time.
And we'll see what happens with that. But looking at the U.S. and the World Cup qualifying, let's keep things in perspective. There's six teams in the hex. The top three are qualified automatically. The fourth team will go against the fifth place team in Asia between the two groups. There's two groups in Asia. The two third place teams in the groups play each other. Then the winner plays the fourth from CONCACAF. So it's not like the U.S. has to play a South American team if they can only get to fourth place. But right now the U.S. is in last place, but they're only 3 points behind Honduras, who they play next. So certainly the U.S. could turn this around, Michael, very easily. And then you don't have to win the group. If you finish in the top three, you get into the World Cup. That's all that matters.
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, the CONCACAF qualifying can be very forgiving. And it's incredible where things do look dire right now. And I think when you're 0-2, -5 goal differential, that doesn't inspire too much confidence. But all you need are a few ties out there where teams that should be winning at home tie. And if this happened during qualifying for the 2014 World Cup, things can change dramatically. But, you know, saying that, you know, someone might say, well, why didn't then U.S. soccer keep Jurgen Klinsmann? Well, he lost the team. And again, that's a difficult thing to grab back once you lose the team, lose the locker room. I guess we're going to have to wait until March, although I'll say this, the January camp should be very intriguing, no doubt about it. Very intriguing.
It certainly will. U.S.'s next three matches are against Honduras at home. They go to Panama, and then they play against Trinidad and Tobago. So certainly there's a chance for the U.S. to get back into this very easily. So, Michael, thank you for coming on early. I know this is an unusual time for you, but thank you with all the breaking news with Jurgen Klinsmann. We'll see what happens with Bruce Arena, if he officially is announced, and if so, when. And I know you'll be covering it at BigAppleSoccer.com, so everybody definitely check BigAppleSoccer.com for all the latest news on the U.S. soccer and U.S. men's national team. And, of course, MLS, they forget about the playoffs happening this week. Of course, pretty important tomorrow. U.S. two matches, which we'll talk about later with Nick Howard. But, Michael, thank you so much, and we'll be talking again next week.
Hey, my pleasure. Have a good one, huh? And happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there, huh?
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. You and your family as well.
Thank you.
It's Michael Lewis here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, and thanks again to Michael for coming on our early show. Just joining us, we started at 6 o'clock tonight, going till 7:10, up to Roberts Wesleyan Basketball here on WYSL. Up next, we'll be joined by the head coach of the Rochester Rhinos, Bob Lilly, here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Here comes Susie Snowflake, soon you will hear her say, come out everyone and play with me, I haven't long to stay.
Your local sports leader. You're listening to AM 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester, FM 92.1, W22 1CL Rochester, and WYSL1040.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great homes, great price.
St. Padre Pio Chapel, located at 141 Frank Domino Way in Gates, is a great place to visit during the holiday season for thought and reflection. The chapel is open daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you can have a tour of the chapel on request. To arrange for a tour, please call Pia Pelosi at 621-6703.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Cooja Cooj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's!
The Rochester Rhinos players and staff would like to thank all the fans for supporting them during 2016 at Rochester Rhino Stadium and for the last 21 years. Season ticket packages for the 2017 Rochester Rhinos are now on sale. Become a season ticket holder and take advantage of the Genesee Brewhouse Beer Garden, the new Bourbon Bar, and great concession stands like Zweigel's Nation and the Royal Rhino. Visit rhinosoccer.com or call 454-KICK to hear about exciting early bird special offers. The Rhinos will be back for another exciting year of soccer this coming spring.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti here. If you're just joining us, we started our show early at 6 o'clock, so if you missed it, definitely check out our replay or the podcast at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Hear all about Michael Lewis's thoughts on the firing of Jurgen Klinsmann as the U.S. national team coach. We're joined right now by another coach who is certainly very happy he's going to be sticking around. Let's see, maybe he'll get the national team job. We don't know. Bob Lilley, the head coach of the Rochester Rhinos, joins us. His appearance brought to you by the Rhinos. Great Christmas gift idea is Rochester Rhino season tickets for the 2017 season. Get them by calling 454-KICK or go to rhinosoccer.com. Bob, thanks for joining us tonight. How are you doing?
Good. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Now, have you been contacted by U.S. Soccer for the potential appointment as national team coach? We got to get that out there.
No, I think that job is a little bit beyond my reach right now, but certainly I think it's the right move. I mean, the players seemed lost, you know, the two games against Mexico and Costa Rica, and that's, you know, it's difficult as long as they've had most of those players together. It was tough to watch those two games. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see who they fill in that spot. But, you know, I think we're at a critical point here, and that game when they come back in March against Honduras will be very important. Honduras and Panama are the next two games. So it's going to be critical to get results in those two games.
Certainly will be. Well, again, there'll be a press conference tomorrow from U.S. Soccer. We'll see what news comes out of that, what they say, and we'll know more, of course, and then we'll have continuing coverage of this on next week's show. But let's talk about the Rhinos, and there was some big Rhinos news this past week, Bob, and unfortunately not good news for Rhinos fans, because one of our best players for the past two seasons, certainly one of the most popular as well, Steven Dos Santos, has moved on. He'll be joining one of the brand new teams in the USL, the Ottawa Fury, who are coming over from the North American Soccer League. Tell us about what happened there and how this all came about.
Yeah, well, Steven was under a 2-year contract with us, so certainly, you know, was a huge part in our success the last 2 years. You know, I know Ottawa and a bunch of other teams aggressively pursued him after the season, and he's chosen to go to Ottawa, which is, I know Ottawa Abbasi, who was with us in 2014 and 15 when we won the championship, is up in Ottawa, so or up in Ottawa. So I'm sure they asked Ottawa about him, and he said, "Hey, he's a really good player." And you know, we're used to having some turnover. Obviously, I mean, I had a good conversation with Steven, and he was very grateful and thankful for everything we did for him. And you know, now it's time for him to look at other opportunities. And I know Ottawa offered a very strong contract. You know, it was a good opportunity for him. So we'll have to figure out how to slow him down next year, because we'll be playing Ottawa, that's for sure.
Certainly. And can you tell us about some of the other players who we know are coming back next year and who we might be bringing in potentially? I mean, is there anything you can tell the fans right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have what we feel is a very good core in the back in the midfield. Walfall, Canardo Forbes, Garzy, Sofian Turgu, who we thought had a really good first year and will grow a lot in the back. Having Joe Farrell back and Ryan James and Bradley Camden, Gomez is back, you know, so we're quite comfortable. The big challenge for us this offseason is going to be to reload up top, because the last 2 years, Valeski and Dos Santos have certainly done well, and their 2-year contracts are expired, where, you know, Steven has already signed elsewhere, and I know Christian may end up getting some opportunities with MLS teams. You know, not sure if he'll stay in MLS or get an opportunity back in our league. You know, he hasn't signed anywhere else at this point, but, you know, I think that's going to be the challenge, is making sure we replace those guys. But do we like the group that we have coming back? Yeah, you know, I think it's a strong core to build on, and certainly the foundation's there. But from an attacking standpoint, that's one of the things we'll be focusing on as we're out in pursuit of players and at our combines. I mean, we need to address that situation.
With Bob Lilly, the head coach of the Rochester Rhinos. Rhinos season tickets again on sale, 454-KICK, or go to rhinosoccer.com. Again, makes a great Christmas present. Get you ready for next season. Now that with the snow on the ground, we're already in the Christmas spirit. So get your soccer fans, and even the people who maybe not are soccer people, introduce them to the Rochester Rhinos. It's not just a great soccer team, it's a great fan experience. A lot of new things happening at the stadium food-wise, and great entertainment. So again, 454-KICK, or go to rhinosoccer.com. Bob, next year the USL is going to have some changes. We're going to be seeing, as we mentioned, the Ottawa Fury coming over from the North American Soccer League, as well as the Tampa Bay Rowdies, certainly a team that Rochester is very familiar with, going all the way back to the original NASL days, and team the Rhinos, or the Lancers, played every year. Also, Reno will be joining the league, but we're losing Wilmington. They're going to drop down to the PDL, so still there'll be 31 teams, I believe, if my math is right. Well, I may be wrong on that, but whatever. What do you think of the status of the league and how things are going to change next year? And there's going to be two more games as well next year for each team.
Well, I mean, I think we just continue to get stronger as a league. I mean, they're going to have even more coverage for the team, not just with all the games televised by YouTube, but I know they have in the works some deals in regarding televising games as well throughout the season and having a game of the week. So, you know, I think the foundation bringing MLS teams in, there are so many new markets that, you know, Louisville, Cincinnati, these teams are all coming now that, you know, they're putting money into the sport, into their teams. It's making it extremely competitive. It's great to see you know, a team like Tampa Bay from the NASL and Ottawa come over, that they've had success recently in the NASL. They've looked at our model, and, you know, I know we're close to attaining second division status from the U.S. Soccer Federation. So I think there's a lot of momentum. You know, it's tough that we lose a team like Wilmington, but when we have multiple teams coming in every year, you know, the odd casualty is never a good thing, but I think we're seeing this league being strengthened, and the standards for teams to compete in this league is getting higher and higher. And, you know, it's a challenge for us to make sure we continue to succeed and be successful on and off the field.
You mentioned the Division II status. Obviously, that's something that would be very important for the league to take, to get to take that step, or have U.S. Soccer grant that classification to the USL. Have you heard anything about the status of that application?
Well, I mean, I know that should be coming soon, but, you know, I don't know that there's any certainties. But it certainly looks favorable based on what we've achieved as a league and certainly what our teams have done on the field. So, you know, I think it's nice to see that confirmed. I think for us as a league, we've never looked at ourselves as inferior to the NASL. There's been too many interleague matchups where our teams have beaten NASL teams. I think there's many players that come into our league from the NASL. So, you know, I think right now we're a growing league and a powerful league moving forward. And I think the NASL has had their struggles. They continue to lose teams and don't have near the expansion that we've had over the past few years. So hopefully it just confirms what we've all felt the last 3 or 4 years. I think, you know, when the decision was made back in, I believe, 2011, there was a split in terms of, okay, there's going to be the MLS, NASL, and USL, and there were certain standards that they expected for Division II status. The NASL teams were prepared to meet those standards. But I don't think it's ever shown up on the field. I think the USL has remained the most viable option under MLS for the top teams and players in this country. You know, and I think that hopefully everything goes through and that will confirm that shortly, and certainly we feel like, yes, it's a nice, we'd much rather be considered a second division, but every year in the Open Cup when we're playing MLS teams, I don't think anyone is looking at Rochester as a third division club or a third division market. So hopefully we'll be back in our rightful place very shortly.
I certainly hope so. I think the Rhinos made the right decision not to go to the NASL those number of years ago. I mean, certainly there's been a number of NASL teams that have joined Major League Soccer. Look at the Montreals and now Minnesota and Atlanta. The Atlanta market going to be in MLS next year. But certainly it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that league. But our league, is in a great position right now with the tremendous successes of many of the teams, like the Sacramentos and the Louisvilles and the Cincinnati's, and, of course, you're right here in Rochester. And having that MLS connection, I think, is so important because MLS is a success. And it's one of the few, if the only soccer league in this country that's ever made money. And they're doing very, very well. And being affiliated with them, I think, was the right move.
Well, and I think, you know, you've watched the games, and, you know, I think as a knowledgeable person in this sport and a fan for a very long time, but a history in the game, you know, unless I'm crazy, I think the quality of the product has gone up dramatically over the past 4 or 5 years, you know, and I was here in 2010, and we had a very competent team that year. But, you know, when I look at our teams the last couple of years and try and think how they would measure up to our team in 2010, which, you know, won the regular season title, I just think the teams we've put out recently are, you know, a little bit more explosive, a little bit more versatile, a little bit deeper. You know, the list goes on and on. You know, so I'm hoping this is going to continue not only to push our team forward, but the league as well, and it will strengthen soccer here in Rochester and throughout the country.
One more thing I wanted to ask you about. There was a report last week out of the Bet Musket, which is a blog and site that covers the Revolution, that the Revs are reassessing their partnerships with the Rhinos and also Sporting in Portugal, a team that's going to be playing Real Madrid tomorrow in the Champions League. But there hasn't been a lot of players, especially last year, there was practically no players who played from the Revolution came down and played for the Rhinos. There have been a few in the past, but it hasn't been a lot of help from the Revs, I guess, from a player perspective. Now, maybe from a business side, it might be different, but do you anticipate or see the Rhinos continuing with the Revolution? Because there's a certain team in New York City that has lost their affiliate with Wilmington going away, New York City FC, which I know I think a lot of people in Rochester would certainly love to be affiliated with a team in New York City. So any news on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any news to report. I mean, certainly, you know, we've tried to work with the Revs, and, you know, there's been some benefits to that, and there's certainly been some difficulties, you know. And I think for any team, any relationship that we enter into, you know, we'd like to obviously produce players and help players develop, which we've been able to do. Have those players come directly from New England? Not since I've been here. So, you know, for me, I think the relationship is an important one, whether it's with New England or someone else down the road. And, you know, obviously with other teams, you know, not everyone is an MLS operating franchise with the second team like New York Red Bull or Toronto or Montreal. But there are plenty of standalone franchises that have relationships with MLS teams. And I think, you know, as we go forward, we want to continue to try to make that a positive situation wherever it is, whenever we have that type of affiliation. And, you know, there's no new news to report at this time, but certainly, yeah, we had the least benefit of that relationship last year with New England certainly was lacking more so than in other years.
And to be fair, the main reason they were citing about the reevaluation is the distance between the cities. And that's certainly a valid point that, you know, it's a 6-hour difference between Boston and Rochester. So it makes it, you know, logistically difficult to move players back and forth. But we'll see what happens as we move along in the off season, if anything changes. But Bob, we want to thank you, of course, for being on the show. And we'd love to have you back on in the near future when we get more Rhinos news of what's going on in the off season. And Joe and I, we want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving and you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. Thanks, Andrew. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Bob.
Take care.
Bob Woolley, the head coach of the Rochester Rhinos here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We'll be continuing to cover the Rhinos and the Western New York Flash in the offseason as they tune up for the 2017 soccer season, which is not too far away, honestly, looking at about, 4 months' time. So we'll be getting back at Rochester Rhino Stadium very quickly and back in action for our local teams. Up next, we'll have Dick Howard. We'll talk international soccer. And tomorrow night, the world will be watching Toronto against Montreal in the MLS playoffs. We'll get the latest news from Canada next from Dick Howard on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Good night. How I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé.
Pittsford United.
Top-notch monogramming is
Reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
These days, we're pinching pennies everywhere we can. On groceries, utilities, even insurance. But get into one car accident and your rates could rise as much as 40% just because of it. Suddenly, your affordable insurance isn't. Unless you have Allstate Accident Forgiveness, then the accident won't make your rates go up at all. It's part of your choice auto, only from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
The 2016 NWSL champion Western New York Flash would like to thank all their fans in Rochester and the surrounding area for helping them to their historic title run this past season. 2017 Flash season tickets are now on sale. Reserve your seats for all 10 Flash home matches and receive exclusive perks for being one of our most dedicated fans. Come cheer the Flash as they look to repeat as NWSL champions. Call 271-KICK or go to WNYFlash.com. The Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame, and a 2013 inductee into the Rochester Lancers Hall of Fame, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
And our international report with Dick Howard brought to you by our title sponsor, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, located at 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates, just off the 390 Expressway. The number to call to make an appointment for a consultation, to get your teeth cleaned, or to have a check on your oral hygiene is 328-3382. Or you can go to the interactive website as well to find out all the services that Dr. Olivo's practice provides. It's davidolivodmd.com. Dick, good evening. Did you guys get slammed with snow like we did down here?
Yeah, we've got snow. It's cold and not ideal conditions, that's for sure, for a soccer game. Well, we've got a big one, Andrew. Geez, which Canadian team is going to get the right to play the winners of the Seattle-Colorado series on December 10th? It is such a rivalry. If you're a hockey fan, you'll know that on Saturday, well, it was Les Habitants, the Canadiens, who won 2-1 over the Toronto Maple Leafs, so hopefully it will not be the same in the soccer game. But one thing, Andrew, the atmosphere is going to be electric. All our listeners hopefully will tune in and be able to tune into this game because it will just be an unreal atmosphere. And they call it the Big O. It's the Olympic Stadium. 60,000 fans. 50,000 are being given clappers before the game. It's really capturing all the attention of the media here in Toronto and Montreal, that's for sure.
Certainly. And one thing that's everyone should know this, the Olympic Stadium is completely enclosed. There's going to be no issues with snow in Montreal. Can't say that necessarily for next Wednesday at BMO Field, but there'll be pristine conditions in Montreal, and the game will be on ESPN, followed immediately on Fox Sports 1 with Seattle and Colorado. And, Dick, one of the things I just want to bring up here, this is going to be an unbelievable showcase for MLS. You're going to have 60,000 people in Montreal. I believe they've opened up the CenturyLink Field for the big crowd in Seattle as well, because it will be the last home game for the Sounders either way, because they cannot host the final. So it's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be over 100,000 people watching MLS tomorrow evening, in a Tuesday night. It's going to be incredible, and I can't wait for it.
No, it really is great. I'm driving up tomorrow morning on Highway 401. It's about a 5-6 hour drive from Toronto to Montreal to take in the game, and can't wait. It's going to be a tremendous game, and two very well matched teams, Andrew. They know each other so well, and if you look at them, you know, both have strong backbones, two fine goalkeepers. In fact, Montreal wouldn't be where they are, I don't think, if Shannon made that fabulous penalty kick save against Red Bull.
Certainly.
And
Dick also, it's going to have a lot of injury.
Clint Irwin did very well and has done since his return from injury. So it starts with the goalkeepers, but a strong backbone with both teams.
Absolutely. I think there's going to be a lot of international interest in this match specifically, because you've got Drogba, you've got Jovinko, you've got Piatti, you've got Bradley and Altidore played overseas. And this, the world, I think, is going to be watching this. A lot of people from Europe and South America are going to be tuning this match in. It's going to be incredible. And the abuse of the atmosphere. These are two teams that do not like each other. This is a bitter, bitter rivalry.
There's a few outbursts when they play each other. If there's going to be a fight in the game, and it'll be a Toronto-Montreal game. And it's great to see that kind of intensity. Hopefully it's going to result in two excellent games. But one thing that could be a factor, Andrew, in the game in Montreal is the playing surface, of course, because it's an artificial turf that's on the concrete, and there's some dead spots that apparently cause the ball to do all kinds of crazy things. Toronto flew in this morning so they could train this afternoon, get used to it, but the impact of being training at the Big O since they knew that was where the game was going to be played, that could be a factor.
It certainly could be. I think, Dick, it's going to be Piatti and Jovinko, I think, are the players to watch here. The two big stars, and they're just playing so well, both of them, proving that they're two of the best in Major League Soccer. It's going to be a showcase, and I think it's to the atmosphere. There's going to be a lot of Toronto fans, I'm sure, are going to be at this game as
well. Yeah, they reckon about 3,000 Toronto fans will make the drive, the flight, you name it, from Toronto to Montreal. So there'll be good support, but they'll be out supported by the fans of the Impact. They are really a very noisy group, and it's great to be in that kind of environment, just watching the game, not having to play in it.
So the second leg will be on next Wednesday, the 30th, at BMO Field. If Seattle wins the Western Conference, Toronto would host MLS Cup at BMO Field. It could be a very cold MLS Cup. It's happened there before when Toronto hosted as a neutral site. But we'll see what happens, since we're getting ahead of ourselves. But it's going to be a great showcase. Again, FS1 will have the Seattle-Toronto match, or Seattle-Colorado match at 10 p.m. And ESPN will have Montreal-Toronto at 8 p.m. Definitely want to tune in to those. So, Dick, let's move over to Europe. And we did have a match today in the Premiership. We want to mention that West Brom with an easy win, 4-0 over Burnley. But a lot of storylines. And, of course, I'm a happy camper, as you might imagine, with six straight wins, six straight clean sheets for Chelsea. If you do that, you're going to be doing very well. I mean, Conte has just been an unbelievable coach for this team, and
it's the country way of winning, isn't it? With Juve, those zeros appeared many, many times when Juve were playing, and he's got that kind of discipline now. As I say, six straight shutouts, tremendous.
And
the one thing I am interested in: West Bromwich Albion, Burnley. West Brom win 4-0. The coach wasn't in the training this week. Where was he? Well, he was having a few days relaxation in Barbados. So does that mean that? You know, coaches can sort of take time out and just find a little bit of sunshine. I was surprised about that, but it certainly worked for West Bromwich Albion today.
It certainly did, and it was a great victory for them. They needed it to continue their move forward in the table. But Chelsea's next two games are against Spurs at home, and then they go to Manchester City. So it could be the season theoretically could nearly be the tone could be set. If Chelsea can win those two games, they may be on their way to another championship because they'll have an advantage over the other teams, except Arsenal, who they lost to. That's their last defeat was against the Gunners.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, they say. Well, we'll see. But certainly Chelsea are playing with a great deal of confidence, and they have impressed me, Andrew, I must admit. And that's after they got a few goals against a team called Everton.
I know. Let's also mention another big event that happened in England. Yaya Toure, one of the best players in the world, who's been a stalwart for Manchester City, has not played very much this season.
One of the highest paid players. I don't know how he can pick up his paycheck. What is he getting, £200,000 a week? Something incredible. But he got two goals, a late winner, so he's earned his money with the weekend. But
it's been a while.
He's had a lengthy absence, hasn't he?
He certainly has. He said that fit into Pep Guardiola's style. This has been a conflict there, but he came back and he scored the winner and got both goals against Crystal Palace, keeping City very close to the top of the table. And, of course, there are going to be some big matches for City and for Spurs. We mentioned them in the European Champions League this week. Spurs going to Monaco. They need a win or they're pretty much out of the – they will not make the knockout stage. So they have to do very well there. And as
they
well,
have it. It's surprising, isn't it? Because they've done so well. They're still unbeaten in the Premier League. And is that opening – they lost to Monaco 2-1 at White Hart Lane. So it's going to be tough because Monaco at home are a difficult team to beat.
They certainly are. And, of course, again, they've got that match coming up on Saturday against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, which I'm sure they're looking at as well. We also want to mention another event that happened this weekend. I watched – the entire match between Real and Atletico Madrid, the great derby there. Cristiano Ronaldo, oh my goodness, what can you say about CR7? He's going to be the player of the year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. All three goals, winning away at Atletico. What a result for Real, and they play against Sporting Lisbon, his old team, coming up this week in the Champions League.
Yeah, they had injuries as well, but apparently he's got 98 goals in European competition, so he needs two more goals, and wouldn't it be nice if he scored them against a team that he was brought up with? Sporting Lisbon was one of his early clubs before he moved on to Manchester United and beyond. But you're quite right, Andrew. What an amazing player. What an amazing player.
And with Barcelona, it was played to a surprising tie against Malaga. Real is in charge of the La Liga right now. In a couple weeks' time is the Clásico. I believe they play at the Camp Nou against Barcelona this time around. Real has not done well there in many years, but yeah, if they can get a result there.
It's an interesting one, that Andrew. You mentioned about Barca 0-0 against Malaga. Carlos Khamenei, the Malaga goalkeeper, was absolutely superb, and that can be a difference because if you get a goalkeeper that's hot, he can win games. But they had no Messi. He was sick. Suarez was suspended, so they'll hopefully be back. And Celtic fans will remember 2012 when Glasgow Celtic won 2-1 over Barcelona. So we shall see. But it'll be, again, great atmosphere in Celtic Park for that game.
I'm sure they're looking forward to seeing Barcelona. And again, I don't know about the thing. And this, I didn't put this in the script. I just remembered it. There was something that was posted on Facebook. There's a report out that Messi is a transfer target for Manchester City for $250 million, a quarter of $1 billion to get Messi to come to England to play for
Manchester
City. My
mind, in a world with some of the salaries and transfer fees that I mentioned, Andrew, it's getting beyond belief. But then money works. Let's look at Red Bull Leipzig, number one in the Bundesliga. And there's been a few dollars put into that team, right, with big business. And the team apparently nobody likes in Germany because there's been so much money put into the club, they could rival Bayern Munich down the road. Bayern, of course, losing
story.
In the weekend didn't help matters because the Red Bull boys are number one in the Bundesliga.
This is an amazing story. Again, we don't talk about the Bundesliga too much, but this is even bigger than Leicester last year because this team is only 7 years old. It is incredible. 2009,
four promotions
Red Bull
in seven seasons,
Red Bull bought this team. It's a fifth division team. They bought them, and their RB, which does not stand for Red Bull, it stands for something that means lawn games in German, because they can't be put into a situation where you have a company owned
it's an energy drink, Red Bull.
Bayer Leverkusen. They're owned by Bayer Aspirin, but I don't know. Anyway, this is a team that's gone from the fifth division to the Bundesliga in 6 years. They were promoted last year. They're now at the top of the Bundesliga, undefeated. And this is a team of pretty much almost all young players. There's no big name players on this team, but
no,
they're just
it's playing true.
As a group. And the match to watch out for is coming up on December 21st, and they will play Bayern Munich, and there will be the big test. They're playing at the Allianz Arena, so that will be the tip. But right now, it's an unbelievable story. But you mentioned, Dick, there are many people in Germany who are not happy. They're getting some. The fans and the players are getting some threats and some terrible things said about them. There was a bull actually thrown from the stands. A bull's head was thrown onto the field at a match because the German fans aren't happy with this situation.
Yeah, no,
it's the case.
I think they're just so upset with the fact that big business is taken over and with the commercial links with the team. It's spending so much more money than many other Bundesliga teams, so... Not popular, but as you rightly mentioned, that game against Bayern will be the real litmus test, won't it? Especially in the Allianz Arena.
That would be very difficult for a young team against a star-studded Bayern Munich side. We'll see how that goes. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Italian league. A 2-2 draw between Inter and Milan on Sunday. So certainly no decision there between the two giants of Milan.
Yeah, we have to mention it for Joe. Juve, of course, they've got a tough game in Sevilla in the Champions League this week, so I'm sure he'll be a little bit concerned with that one.
It is. Sevilla is at the top of that group, Group H, so if Sevilla wins at home, they will win that group.
Yeah, it's important to win the group. Must-win games, aren't there, in the Champions League, and we've hit on several of them.
Absolutely. And the thing with the Champions League, if you win the group, you get seeded. You will play a second-place team in another group. So you would not see Barcelona against Real Madrid necessarily in the round of 16. It would come later on. But Juventus certainly would not want to be matched up with a Barcelona or Real Madrid in the round of 16.
Everybody's avoiding Real Madrid at the moment, especially if
Real Madrid is actually in second place right now in Group F behind Borussia Dortmund. So, you never know what's going to happen in the Champions League. There's teams that you would not expect. Napoli is leading their group right now, which is Benfica is up there. Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain play this weekend, this week, and they're
both on 10 points, from four games. They're both doing well, It's a great competition. I'd hate to see, I know there's talk all the time about a European league, the top teams in each of the countries playing in their own league, but I think the Champions League is perfect.
I think so, too, and we can't forget the Europa League as well. There's many great teams.
Exactly, and that's the next level below. Man, you have a tough game against Feyenoord this week, don't they? They've lost 2-1 in Holland, so they've got to get a good result, otherwise they'll be out. That won't be least Jose Mourinho.
I know. Well, Jose's...
All their sponsors, for that matter.
Well, they nearly get the result against Arsenal. Just a late goal from Olivier Giroud gave Arsenal a point there. But I think Man U is certainly... They're outside looking in right now in the top five in England, but... They'll still have time to make a run. It's just there's a lot of teams ahead of them right now, and the team's playing very, very well at this point.
Yeah, no, it's going to go down to the wire, Andrew, which is the way it should be.
It certainly is, and we mentioned the team we don't mention anymore. Unfortunately, is Leicester. They're not doing well in the EPL or in the Premiership, but they're at the top of their group in the Champions League. So certainly, they could make a name for themselves in Europe, even though they're in the second tier of English soccer, right? Not in the second tier, but the second half of the table in the Premiership. They're having a tough. They lost to Watford over the weekend in a tough match.
A lot of games, and the great thing now, Andrew, is we're getting so many games on the different networks throughout North America. It's fabulous to see. You almost have to pick and choose, don't you? But the coverage is just tremendous with all the different stations, I think.
There's a great site. If you've never been to this site, it's called LiveSoccerTV.com, and I use it all the time to gather all the broadcasts. And they also have an app for your phone if you want to put it on your iPhone. They'll tell you when all the matches are and what stations, whether it be in the United States or in other countries, if you're listening outside of the United States to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
And as you said, hopefully they listen to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass and then watch the games.
Yes, probably they probably do. And you mentioned Thursday, the Europa League. If this Thanksgiving, of course, here in the United States, Dick already had his Thanksgiving back in October. But instead of watching football, you can watch the real football because there's going to be some great matches. You can say Manchester United and Feyenoord will be playing. Hapoel Be'er Sheva against Inter, I believe it's being played in Israel, Dick, if I'm not mistaken. So certainly a lot of great matches to watch. And then this weekend you've got Manchester, you've got Chelsea against Spurs in the Premiership, and other great matches as well around Europe. It's going to be a great week for soccer. A lot of people off from work, you get a chance to get your soccer.
So we're all the couch potatoes watching the games, Andrew.
But I know the big matches again this are tomorrow, 8 p.m. Montreal Impact hosting Toronto FC. Dick, I have to get your prediction. I know you're a Toronto FC supporter because you live in Toronto, but
I think the game should be won in the midfield, and I think Toronto just have the edge there. And if they can come out with a tie, that will be great. And not giving up a goal—that's the important thing, I think.
If Toronto gets an away goal, that may be the difference in the tie.
If they get an early goal, that would be the ideal way to start things. But it's going to be very closely contested. I don't think we're going to see too many goals in it.
What do you think of the other series, though, Seattle and Colorado? With the loss of Tim Howard, the Rapids,
that's
going to
be a factor, isn't it? And I think, again, you've got two well-matched teams, and I think the loss of Tim Howard could be more of a factor than anything. Although, having said that, there's some talented players on both teams. I'd like to see Seattle get through because they have the former Toronto goalkeeper in between the posts. So that's...
That would be certainly something. And, of course, they'll have that big crowd at Chancery League Field tomorrow night. If they can get a 2-3 goal victory, that's how they were able to knock off FC Dallas. They got that early advantage playing at home.
I think they will.
Well, if that's the case, then the final will be in Toronto if it comes down to that.
Toronto-Seattle final in Toronto.
Well, Dick, we appreciate you coming on.
Stay tuned. Always good to chat to you, Andrew.
Have a great trip. Enjoy yourself at the match tomorrow. It's going to be great to watch in person, and we'll love to get your report on it on next week's show.
Look forward to it. Take care, Andrew.
Thank you, Dick. Bye-bye. Dick Howard here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass live from Toronto. And that's going to do it for our show tonight. As we go to Roberts Wrestling Basketball in just a moment, it's been Andrew Battisti with Joe Sirianni. Who's joining us next week, of course, the host of our show, Dick Howard, Michael Lewis, and Bob Lilly, the head coach of the Rochester Rhinos, joining us tonight, as well as Bob D'Angelo in the control room at WYSL. Be with us next Monday at our regular time of 6:30 p.m. till 7:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass here on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 a.m. and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Everybody have a very happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy yourself. Don't eat too much.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors, the Rochester Rhinos and Western New York Flash, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Olindo's, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.